Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, and callers on this show are not the opinions of TeleSouth Communications, its management, or advertisers.
Shop Local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3, putting a spotlight on homegrown Mississippi-based businesses, made in Mississippi products, and their impact on your community and the Magnolia State. Now, your hosts, Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner.
Happy holidays from the Shop Local Mississippi show. We are recording here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Hello to all Mississippians, especially our small business owners. ShopLocalMississippi.org. Find us on Facebook at simply Shop Local Mississippi. Send us an email if you'd like to be on the show. We would love to help you promote your small business, charity, or organization. That email address is ShopLocalMS@Yahoo.com. Today we have Jason Spears with JMH Graphics, located here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, but they also service all of Mississippi and probably even more abroad. JMH is a locally owned and operated family business, and they have been in business for many years here in Mississippi, and they service businesses, individuals, organizations, and et cetera. Welcome, Jason. It's so good to have you on the show today.
Good morning. I appreciate you guys letting me come on.
Jason, tell us a little bit about your business, what you do, how many employees you have, and how you got started.
We do primarily screen printing and embroidery. We're a small business, but we have about 14 employees. Most of them have been there for quite a while. I know you talk to Carly sometimes, and Devin in the back, they've been there for 10, 12 years, and then we've got a couple of other long-term employees. But we try to keep our turnover low, which allows us to provide better service and, you know, just continuity of product, you know, keep everything at the quality standards that we want. As far as how I got into it, I actually used to install car stereos in Columbia for John Sabine at S&S Audio, which used to be affiliated with Larry Sellers over at Hi-Fi. And I worked next to a screen printing shop, and I left the job with John, not on any bad terms or anything, but I was going to college, and the lady that owned that hired me to do artwork over there. So that was 1997, 98. So then all through college, I kind of kept into that world of screen printing and design. And then one of my friends was like, you should open a screen printing shop. It was like 2004, 2005. And he kind of partnered with me. I was going to do the design portion. He was going to do the labor, the printing and stuff. And then we got it started and got it off the ground. He got a better opportunity somewhere else because he was married at the time. I was not. And he had to take a better financial opportunity. So then it was just me from there. And then, you know, we've just, you know, grown from there over the years. So.
Jason, one of the things that is the $64,000 question to a lot of small business owners, you talked about keeping your turnover low.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that in a small market environment? How do you keep your employees happy?
Well, we try to pay everybody very fairly, typically higher than other shops in the area, and that is not a strike against anybody. We pay people the longer they're there and the more responsibilities they take on. Their salary, you know, expands based on that. So, you know, with the longevity comes the increase in pay. Insurance, we offer benefits. We do every major holiday is paid off. We do 2 weeks at Christmas paid. We do 3 or 4 days at Thanksgiving. So we just try to make sure that everybody sees it as more of a career opportunity as opposed to here's a job I'm going to be at for 6 months or a year while I'm looking for the next best thing, you know. And we've had plenty of people move on. Some of them went to Southern and then got degrees in teaching. There's a guy that lives in Oxford now that teaches art up there. Another guy has moved to Washington State to become a nurse. So we've had plenty of people leave, but then our core staff has stayed with us for a long time.
And both of you as business owners can comment on this, because a lot of people will go to a quote-unquote big-time job because they perceive that the benefits and so on are going to be proportionately bigger slash better. But I have actually found that small business owners many times provide better benefits because they understand how irreplaceable and what it costs that business to replace that person if they leave. Am I seeing that rightly? Yeah,
absolutely. And I've actually had people that left working for us, and then I would run into later, and they would say, "Boy, I wish I would have never left. I have, you know, I went to work at this corporation or that corporation or whatever," and they would say, "I just had it so good there, you know, because we only work Monday through Friday. We close early on Fridays, so everybody has a couple extra hours for the weekend. And we try to be very flexible and understanding about people's schedules. You know, they have events with kids at school or whatever, you know, take the time off. We don't dock their pay. That's just part of the, you know, part of the thing." So,
and how has your graphic company kept up with changing technology? I imagine in the old days, everything was screen printed. Now, is that still the case?
Yeah, when I got into it, it was all manual, you know, hand pulled. And then I guess there's been automatic machines or automated machines since the mid-90s. But that has kind of expanded over time. I think pretty much everybody now, unless you run what they call a garage shop, has some type of automated press or some kind of automation in their system, you know.
And Jason, you have folks in-house that are amazing with design work. So you provide that service when somebody orders, they're
right.
looking to order shirts.
Yeah,
tell us about that.
If they're ordering from us, we do all the design work at no charge. And then if they need the logos emailed to them, which we've sent some to you before, you know, that's just included in the price. And we don't hold that from anybody or require them to, you know, pay for it. Now, if we have people all the time that call and they say, "I need a logo designed." And we're like, "Well, we don't really do that. We don't do logo design. But if you're ordering T-shirts from us or embroidery or whatever, we'll put your logo together and then provide you with a copy of it." So,
and I know that your design work in-house is so good that, hey, I would order shirts just to
right.
get that logo.
And a lot of times people will call, and I think you've worked with Colby before, where you needed something in particular. And I said, "Well, we don't do it in-house, but I'll turn you over to Colby's desk and he can do it as
kind
a freelance project."
Right.
Yeah, and he does a lot of that on the side,
That's
so it works
amazing.
Out well with him.
So not just T-shirts. Tell us what else you'll throw a logo or a design on.
If it can be printed, as far as tangible, like clothing items or soft goods, we probably do it.
Koozies, hats.
Yeah, koozies, hats, any kind of embroidered jackets, polos, sweatpants, you know, ball uniforms, which I have to give a plug to my friend that played against sports. He's much better at the ball team stuff than we are. We absolutely will not turn away work for ball leagues, but he just has such a better system. And usually when people come in and they need a full-on package for their team, we're like, "Go see our buddy play it again. He's better at that than
we
are."
Do you collaborate sometimes?
We do, actually. He prefers to do the ball uniforms. He doesn't like printing the T-shirts, so when the parent shirts come in, he sends that over to us, and we handle the parent shirts. So we do every year kind of talk and collaborate on stuff.
So like doctors have specialties, you guys have things that are in your wheelhouse and things that aren't necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely. And we refer each other back and forth. It's just professional courtesy.
You know? Talked about soft, anything that's, I was joking, I wonder, is skin considered soft? You couldn't print on something?
We're not in the tattoo business, but I have some
only
space out
Kelly,
back I might
I
could rent
this.
To somebody.
Every
so.
Show, only Kelly.
Well, I mean,
you know, it falls into that, yeah. End of the discussion.
But
so.
But you do not and will not do tattoos.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Gotcha.
We're not certified by the state of Mississippi for that.
So how do you get the word out that you guys, of course, you guys have been around long enough that word of mouth, I'm sure, has been very beneficial for you.
That tends to be our biggest form of advertising now. I mean, we run some, you know, social media ads and stuff like that, but that's more like you just turn it on and let it run. It just kind of stays in the background. But just having good customer relationships and good interactions with customers, you know, we send out review emails, so we get a lot of good feedback there. And then a lot of people will just refer other people to us based on their service, you know. And then we you know, every order we send out comes with a thank you card. Every shirt usually has a sticker on it that says, "Hey, if you need a quote, scan this QR code." So it's just more like homegrown advertising.
And is there anything that you will not print? What I mean by that, phrases, things of that nature.
We have had some customers come in with some questionable ideas, and we've just told them we didn't feel comfortable with it.
Good for you.
I won't go into specifics.
No, that's okay.
But
yeah,
it's just things that I think any of us in this room would see and feel uncomfortable with and not want our business related with. So sometimes, most of the time, it's not about the money. It's about us just staying a legitimate business.
And not doing something that would be offensive.
Absolutely. We don't want to be tied back to anything like that. So
tell us about the different charity organizations that you work with in town. I know I see, that you've printed a lot of the, promotional events that different charity organizations do. So which organizations do you work with every year?
We've done a lot of stuff for the ARC. We've done Heart Walk every year, and usually that's in conjunction with Eve Bauer and the Heart Association and Forest General. It's just a variety of stuff. Fundraisers in general for any kind of charity like that. Extra Table is a good one that we've worked with before. So it's a wide variety, and we're able to service them whether they need online sales or in-person sales or what have you.
We'll continue our discussion with Jason Spears when Shop Local Mississippi continues in just a moment.
This is Shop Local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3.
Welcome back to the Shop Local Mississippi Show. Happy holidays, everybody. Today we have Jason Spears with JMH Graphics, local graphics printing company here in Hattiesburg. If you don't know about them, which most people do, you need to. They not only outright wholesale shirts to businesses, but they also work with charity organizations on fundraisers. We talked a little bit about that in the first segment, but Jason, let's revisit that thought and let people know how that works when they partner with you on a fundraiser on selling shirts, like ball teams, churches, charity organizations.
A good example is a lady that we've worked with a couple of times emailed me last month. She lives in Little Rock now, I believe, somewhere in Arkansas up there. And we had done a fundraiser for her before. Her daughter has, rare disease. I won't get into the specifics, but she said, hey, we want to do another fundraiser for Lily. Here's my design idea. She sent it over to me, and she wanted to do online sales, which means that she can expand it more because she can reach more people. So, we got our artwork done, set up her online store, and I think she made, it was a little over $2,000. We ran her sales for a couple of weeks, and then we order all the product, print everything, we do all the sorting and packaging, and then we did all the shipping for her. So literally, it was kind of hands off for her. All she had to do was get the word out. And then once the sale's over, we present her with her profit or what have you. But we've done that for a lot of organizations. And it doesn't always have to be online sales. A lot of people like to collect their own orders because they want that personal connection, or they're at an event. So any kind of fundraising like that, we can help out with. We've done a lot with Extra Table. I know we were talking about Heart Walk before and things like that. So even schools, like we just did Holiday in the Grove for Oak Grove Elementary over there, and they made enough money to be able to turn around and buy the shirts for the children who couldn't afford shirts. So it all kind of worked together on that.
So where does the name JMH come from, Jason?
Well, that is the $10 million question that I get asked all the time. Everybody always thought it was, my wife's name is Melissa, so everybody always thought it was Jason Melissa. And Henry, or some mystery partner with an H in his name.
The dog.
But, yeah, exactly. But the story is it's James Marshall Hendrix. I'm a big Jimi Hendrix fan.
Okay.
Yeah. So whenever.
How cool is that?
When I was 23 or 24, 20 years ago getting this started, I guess I was 26 because I'm about to be 47 tomorrow. I couldn't come up with anything cool, so I just took the initials, and that was it, and that's the story behind it.
So have you heard from his estate wanting their cut?
No, I haven't, but if they contact me, we'll work out some kind of licensing agreement.
I don't think they'd win, because there's nothing in his name.
Send him some t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly. I'll print him some t-shirts.
Do you have, like, a t-shirt with his face printed on it?
We actually had one for a little while. We used to do some novelty giveaways in the store, and now we just do boring JMH shirts that don't have anything fun with them. But yeah, it was like, you know, the original band name was the Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Right.
So it was the JMH Experience is what we put on the t-shirt with a picture of him. It was kind of cheeky.
One of the things that we always ask our guests is making the decision to pull the trigger on a business and to become a small business owner. What were you thinking? And take us through that process.
Well, I actually have a degree in history. I was going to go to be a teacher. Once I got through with the bachelor's, then I was going to go back and get a master's and at least try to get to the junior college level. And while I was doing that, I was doing contract artwork for a lot of local screen printers. Stacy Cameron, Stacy.
Sure.
Yeah. Owen Owsley used to own Ashley Sporting Goods. A lot of those guys, Lance Sandiford, who me and Melissa know very well. So I was doing contract artwork for them while I was in graduate school, and I realized very quickly that the amount of money that I was making working for myself was equal to or better than what I would be making as a teacher. And while I still love history, read history books all the time, seemed like the smartest decision for me at the time. Would I change that? Absolutely not. And I think Melissa can tell you as well that, you know, running your own business is extremely challenging, but also extremely rewarding. You have to put in a lot of hard work. And I would say it was 10 years, 12 years before we really got to where I didn't get to December every year and think, okay, next year is the year we're going to go bankrupt.
But what I think is particularly cool about your story, though, is you don't come from a graphic art background.
Right, yeah.
It was, you know, an education background. So how did you develop a prowess for that?
I've always been into, physical media, painting, models. My wife will tell you that I have a model room at my house that is ridiculous to her, but I enjoy it. So I think that world, being interested in art, then translated. When that lady offered me the job to come and do art for her, and it was basically hand-drawn stuff, then I started picking up the skill set. And I think it's like being a plumber or being an electrician or any other trade. Once you start to learn the intricacies of the process, it really does just become a trade. And, you know, people think they can buy some screen printing equipment, set it up in their garage, like we were saying earlier, and just print t-shirts. And it's a lot more complicated than that. I've got some people in Laurel that I've been giving advice to for about 3 months now. They keep, you know, I told them, I said, you guys text me when you have any questions. Text me pictures, ask me your questions, and I'll help you out. And they're going through all of the same learning process that I've seen everybody else go through. And it is absolutely a process.
Jason Spears with JMH Graphics is with us. Jason, if you could sit down at lunch, if a prospective small business owner wanted to take you to lunch and pick your brain, what would be the top two or three bullet points that you would tell them, know this before you...
Do's and don'ts.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say be ready to invest a lot of time in it, but also don't invest so much time that you don't have a life outside of work. I know a lot of people are into that hustle culture, and yeah, it does pay off. And I have been at work plenty of times at 4 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. But I think that leads to burnout. So, you know, stay away from overworking yourself. I would also say stay out of debt as much as possible. I think a lot of people get into business and we did. We kind of got talked into leasing some equipment that we either didn't need or it wasn't the right equipment for us. And only years later did we realize that, well, we should have just went to the bank and got a loan and paid it off as fast as possible. You know, as opposed to getting into a lease, and just like with a car, you get to the end of that lease,
you don't own it.
They take the equipment back, and you got to buy the next new thing. You know, so that would be number two. Try to keep your debt ratio very low.
Interesting that you mentioned burnout, though, being a Jimi Hendrix fan.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, right. And I guess the The third thing would just be to make good contacts in the community and just try to do really good work and keep people satisfied.
One thing about you, Jason, and your business, and Kelly, I know, Jason, we've done business together for years, and he and Melissa do a lot of things behind the scenes, like Good Samaritan things, and along the talking of, you know, the good points of owning a business is to always try your best to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
Always, yeah. Even when nobody's looking. You know, that famous quote that applies to all of us. But y'all have definitely done a lot of things behind the scenes and like you said, offered help to even a potential competitor.
Oh, yeah. The guys at American Graphics, well, every now and then we still talk and see each other because we have kids at the same school, but they'll text me and be like, hey, we ran out of this supply. Do you have some? And I'm like, yeah, come on over. And, you know, they'll try to pay me. And I'm like, yeah, just we'll catch it up next time. I'm going to need something eventually.
Isn't it hard as the business owner and when your heart and passion are in it, isn't it hard to remember yourself in the equation?
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
Your time is worth.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what your time is working on something. And also I'll add that I know you – with technology evolving, like we were talking about with the screen printing, it's important to hire people that know more than you do.
Absolutely.
If you don't know how to do something, don't throw up your hands. Hire somebody that does.
That is a great point. And if I could put a fourth bullet point on there,
sure.
I would absolutely say to hire people that are as smart or smarter than you, and then don't micromanage them. Because some of the best employees we have, I have just handed an entire department to them and said, you know what, I'm going to let you change anything you want to change and do anything you want to do. And I've always found that they do it better than me. And if I had an ego problem and had to control them, I would not be anywhere where I'm at today.
That's really good advice. But, you know, a lot of people, they're going, look, it's my name on the loan.
Absolutely.
It's my name. I got to make sure. So that tendency to micromanage is tough to fight back sometimes.
Absolutely. Our greatest asset, I will 100% say, is our employees. Mm-hmm. Our employees and our customer base.
And Jason, why Mississippi? If you could have your business anywhere, what makes Mississippi special?
I think for me, it's just the small town feel or community. You know, we've traveled to some different places, and there's plenty of places that I would like to live if I retire. But I think around here, I feel just more at home, and I feel like I have a better connection to people around here.
Jason Spears with JMH Graphics.
Jason, thanks so much for being on the show today. Folks, if you are thinking of ordering T-shirts, I guarantee you that JMH has the best prices. They will work with you. Also, if you're looking for a fundraiser, their T-shirts or hats are great for that. Remember the small business before you go online and order big box and it comes in and it's nothing like you wanted. Remember the small businesses. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Jason.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Shop Local Mississippi, shoplocalmississippi.org. Happy holidays, everybody.
We'll be right back with more.
This is Shop Local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3.
Again, happy holidays, everybody. Shop Local Mississippi, welcome to the show. On this show, we feature small business owners, charity organizations, directors of communities. If you'd like to be on our show, just shoot us an email at shoplocalms@yahoo.com. Online is shoplocalmississippi.org or find us on Facebook at simply Shop Local Mississippi. Today, we are so excited to have a local celebrity, Jonathan Dickinson. Most people know him by John, the glass-blowing guy at Tomley's Christmas Tree Farm, where they sell local grown and live Christmas trees, as well as they do the blown glass ornaments, glassware all year long. You can go there and do classes. They also will teach you how to do the blown glass, and you can make your own. So welcome, Jonathan. Welcome to the show. We are so happy to have you today. I'm going to get a sip of water.
Hey, Jonathan, you're kind of the all-American story where you were at the bottom rung of the totem pole there at Tomley's and kind of worked your way up. Tell us about some of the things that you do. Obviously, the most important thing that comes to mind is the taking care of the trees themselves, but you do a lot, you personally do a lot more than that.
Yes, sir. So I've been here for several years now, and I started at the bottom as a tree getter and cutter, and kind of came on full time after two Christmas tree seasons, and then through the years have learned the farming side of things and how to take care of the trees, how to get the dirt where it needs to be for the trees to grow, and how to trim the trees. And then through those years, I was fortunate enough to be able to get into the glass shop as well and learn from the owner here, Jeremy Tomley. And we've had so much fun doing it, and being a part of the Hattiesburg community is just really special thing we got going out here.
And we're going to talk more about the store, you know, as our interview progresses. But I want to talk about the different varieties of Christmas trees, because weather-wise in South Mississippi, as hot as it gets, it's just not conducive to growing certain kinds of trees. Kind of give us Christmas trees 101.
Okay, so what we grow here is known as a Leland cypress for the most part. That and along with a Carolina sapphire, these are the main two that get grown here in the South due to the temperatures and the rainfall and everything else that we have to deal with here on the farm. The Fraser firs that we bring in from North Carolina are a specialty tree kind of a thing that only grow up there. So we do bring those in and offer those as well. But we love our homegrown trees, and we work really hard all year to keep them manicured and happy for y'all when y'all come and get one and take it home.
I think as much a part of the Christmas season is having a real Christmas tree. The smell that fills the room that you really can't emulate through any other type of product. And people start tagging these trees right after Halloween, don't they, Jonathan?
They do. So we open up November 1st every year for you can come out and pre-tag a tree, go ahead and purchase that tree, and then we'll babysit it for you for a few weeks till you decide to come back and get it. We typically try to wait until after Thanksgiving for our homegrown trees to be cut, just due to, again, the heat and the weather that we deal with here. They don't typically last quite as long as those Fraser firs that we bring in. But if we cut them after Thanksgiving, they do just fine till Christmas.
Now, set the record straight as to the best way to care for a fresh-cut tree so that the needles stay as fresh as long as possible.
So the best thing you can do is always make sure it has water. The first time we water them, when we take them home, we try to do a little warm water and some sugar in that water as well. That will help the tree to feed itself a little bit more, and the warm water opens up the pores of the tree to be able to drink better. The second thing, the main one that'll get them, is a heat vent. So if you have it close to a vent in your house, that hot air blowing on it will send it downhill pretty quick.
Or fireplace this time of year.
Yep, right? Or fireplace.
Wow.
I definitely
okay.
recommend keeping them away from
those
that.
Those are things I did not know. What about the old myth about the aspirin?
I'm not too sure about the aspirin. You know, I've heard that many a times. I've personally never tried it. My papa always did Sprite and water, uh-huh. And so that's my go-to. But I've definitely heard the aspirin myth, and they say it works.
Oh, well, I always thought the aspirin was for people like me, because sometimes it's a headache putting up that tree, you know.
it certainly can be. We try to make it as easy as we can on people. We're a one-stop shop, so you can come and pick out a tree, and we'll put the stand on it for you and send you with a water bowl. We can net it up to make it easier to get into the house, and then you can have your Griswold moment when you cut it off and it flops out.
Now, one other thing, Jonathan, about lights is, because back when I grew up, the light bulbs that you put on the Christmas trees got really hot. I mean, they were the bigger bulbs.
They would zap you.
And trees would go up in flames. There were people,
right.
Fires, all that. But I guess the newer lights now don't generate that kind of heat like in the old days. Yes,
the LEDs that they have now are a lot better for the trees. They definitely keep some heat off of it. Again, that heat is kind of a Achilles heel for the Christmas tree. What we rely on for a tree to stay fresh through the winter and when you take it home is cold. So that's typically why we try to wait till after Thanksgiving, because the tree will go dormant or kind of like hibernation once it gets cold outside. and that prolongs its life whenever it gets cut.
And Jonathan, while we're on the note of the care of the tree and the water bowl, I have to bring up two Christmas vacation funnies. Number one, when you get home with that water bowl, the dogs think it's what? They think it's their water bowl. So
of course,
if you have pets in the house, make sure you keep an eye on that water. And two, do cats really gnaw on wires? Does that really happen? Michael's here shaking his head.
It definitely does. We have two little cats that we love here on the farm that take care of things around here, but they can tend to get into our Christmas lights every now and then. We have to keep an eye on them, so that is something for sure to watch out for.
Jonathan Dickinson is with us from the Tomley's Tree Farm, but the name is a little deceptive because certainly there are trees there, but there are other things going on at Tree Farm, including periodic farmers markets where you can learn how to also make pottery. We talked about the glass blowing, and I want to talk about the store, Jonathan, that's open where people can actually purchase the glass blown products that you guys produce and some of the other things that are featured in your farmers markets. Tell us about those as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a beautiful gallery that we have built in our hot shop 2 years ago now.
Nice.
And we have, I don't know, a few hundred products that are all made in-house and displayed in there that are available to take home and gift to a loved one. We also, like you mentioned, have the farmers markets that are once a month through the summertime. Then we have our two big ones at the end of the year, the fall market and then the Christmas market. And we had a record-breaking year this year. It was awesome. We had 171 vendors for our Christmas market, and it was so chaotic. I don't think we got a real count on it, but there had to be 3,000 to 5,000 people here that day. It was absolutely awesome.
Jonathan, have you gotten into the like the light fixture, like the canopy that goes over a lamp? Do y'all make any of those?
We have. So we started playing with lighting about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now. When we were featured on the hometown show up in Laurel,
right,
we did a big chandelier for them, and it was just a delight and so much fun to play and get creative and do something new. We ended up doing a 5-piece lighting piece for them, along with about 90 ornaments that hung around it in a beautiful home there in downtown Laurel. It's always so much fun working with those guys. It's a lovely episode. If you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend checking it out.
And that is also in my hometown.
Awesome.
You're speaking my language. What about chandeliers? The blown glass that sort of dangles. Do you do that?
So we play a little bit with some of that stuff. I will say that we are a pretty young shop, and everyone here in the shop is still very much so learning. Glass in general is a lifelong art form, and to put it in perspective, you're considered an amateur until you're about 10 years in. So we are learning and doing the best we can, and we're starting to play with some pendant lighting and the lamp shade fixtures and such like that. We haven't quite made it to a full-on chandelier yet, but we would love to give it a shot one day for sure.
One of the things I like that they do at Tomley's Tree Farm, Christmas Tree Farm, is if they have to trim like the bottom branches of the tree so that you've got stem length to go in the bucket or whatever the tree stand that you put it in, they'll take those branches and they will make wreaths out of some of those very,
like the whimsy.
Yeah, the fresh wreaths that you can put on.
And that's really popular this
year. That can put on your front door, yeah?
It is, yes, sir. So we have Miss Judy here that's been with us for over 20 years now, and she is an absolute master at her craft. She makes beautiful, beautiful wreaths and garland. She can do wreaths anywhere from 10 inches all the way up to 6 foot wide.
Wow.
And then garland anywhere from a couple feet to 25 feet. So we probably do, I don't even know, probably 100 or so wreaths a year and 1,000 or so foot of garland a year. And it is all just absolutely beautiful. And all of that gets dipped in a preservative as well. That's a natural preservative that will keep them fresh through the season up until Christmas.
We're just learning all kinds of things.
Yeah, so to guys out there that don't know a whole lot about what's going on with decorating and things, so measure the mantel place, right?
The stairwell,
any of those. So yeah. Just measure it and then go to Miss Judy and say, hey, I need this to be a certain length, and mm-hmm. she'll do
it.
The rest from
That's
there.
That's it. So, yep. Same as Christmas trees, November 1st, we start taking orders for wreaths and garland. And she prefers that you put in an order, but we do keep some pre-made stuff in stock at our little gift shop. Again, that's a great little spot to come in and check out. While you're getting the tree, you can pick up a few Christmas presents. We have our gift shop open with the wreaths and about 10 or 12 local vendors that we have in there that's all handmade, handcrafted art and wood pieces and soaps and teas and cakes and all sorts of stuff in there.
Well, we're going.
Did he say cakes?
He did say cakes.
I heard cakes.
Yeah, I made a note of that as well. Jonathan Dickinson is with us from Tomley's Tree Farm in the Oak Grove area of Hattiesburg. When we come back, we're going to talk about replenishing the Christmas tree farm. Once those are cut down, then what happens to the land? How do you manage that? And then small business ties as well. As we continue our discussion on the other side of these commercial messages, you're listening to Shop Local Mississippi on Super Talk Mississippi.
This is Shop Local Mississippi with Melissa Socher and Kelly Sanner on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3.
Welcome back and happy holidays again from the Shop Local Mississippi show. Visit us online at shoplocalmississippi.org. If you'd like to be on our show, we'd love to have you. Send us an email at shoplocalms@yahoo.com. Visit us on Facebook at simply Shop Local Mississippi. Today we are so happy to have a local celebrity, Jonathan Dickinson from the Tomley's Christmas Tree Farm located at 50 Hegwood Road in Oak Grove. That's in Hattiesburg. They were established in 1967. Tell us a little bit about those roots and who actually started the business, Jonathan.
Yeah, so the story actually goes back even a little bit further. So the current owner, Jeremy Tomley, he is now fourth generation with the farm.
Wow.
His great-grandfather purchased the property in 1931, and they managed the property and cleared it and built a couple barns, and then in 1967, him and his son started doing the Christmas trees, and then it has grown and developed into something really special here that we love and cherish. It is, we have so many buildings and things going on that there's always something to do around here. We, like I said, we have the glass shop and the gift shop and the metal shop now, and two Airbnbs on the property as well.
I didn't know that. Wow, how about that? Two Airbnbs.
We do, yep.
So how would you go about renting those Airbnbs, and what kind of activities would be included?
So it depends on what time of year you come. If you come in the summer months, it's a little slow around here. It'll probably just be me and Jeremy hanging out, taking care of the trees and doing some grass cutting. But if you come during when it's hustling and bustling for Christmas, you can hang out and check out the gift shop or come watch some glass blowing. The main Airbnb is the original farmhouse that his grandparents built. We have renovated it, and it's on Airbnb as well as VRBO. It's available for, I believe, 2 to 10 people, and it's a minimum 2-night stay. But it has been such a joy having out-of-state people come in, hang out, and experience the farm and get to show them what we love to do around here.
So yeah. People come out and they can have family photos made. Do they
absolutely
invite their own photographer, or do you provide that on site?
So we do not provide a photographer. I get handed a cell phone to take pictures quite often, but if you want to bring your photographer with you, we just ask that they stop by the gift shop and check in, and then you can go about the 12 acres of Christmas trees and find you a beautiful spot to get your little Christmas photos taken. It's become quite popular, and we love seeing people come out in their Sunday best and get some beautiful pictures taken.
So, Jonathan, for all of those viewing, the big question, has Hallmark contacted you yet about filming a movie out there?
They have not, but we've been waiting, and we've been sprucing it up, getting it ready. When the day comes, we'll be here waiting and ready.
Gosh, this just sounds so dreamy, everything.
Well, now, and if we get Lacey Chabert, the actress from Purvis,
there
to come home,
you go.
She would already be here ready to perform, ready to act in that movie. Jonathan, I want to talk about the actual farming, because obviously those trees get cut down each year. So tell us, educate us about land management and how you replenish your supply of trees.
Yep, so obviously the crazy part of the year is everyone showing up and cutting them and everything, but when everyone leaves and Christmas is over, that's when the real work starts. So we will come into a field that has been cut after Christmas, and we have to pull stumps, and then we disc the ground and turn the dirt, and then we will add supplements depending on soil samples to get the dirt where it needs to be nutrient for the trees, and then we'll plant about 500 trees a year. To keep up with management of selling. We only get about a foot a year out of a Christmas tree as far as growth goes. So it's quite a long-term investment. We have to plan far ahead to be able to keep trees in stock for every Christmas and whatnot. And there's a lot of work that goes in between all those years. We trim the trees twice a year to keep them shaped up nice and pretty. And then we also spray the trees for disease and insects and anything that might bother them.
Real quick, in our last few seconds, if a corporation or say a bank had a big lobby and they wanted a 30-foot Christmas tree, how do you go about finding one of those around here?
So we have quite a few. We do a good bit of commercial work. We have probably about 120 trees over the 20-foot mark.
Wow.
And those take a lot of extra work, so the price range is a little bit higher on those, but we still think it's very reasonable. Again, they only grow a foot a year, so a 20-foot tree that's absolutely perfect would be about $2,000. And for a 20-year investment, I think that's a pretty good deal.
Do you offer delivery on those ginormous trees like that?
We do, yes, ma'am. I can personally take about an 18-foot on my truck, and then we build the stands for them and everything, and then we will come and set it up in your bank or hotel. We have had quite a few head out this year. We just sent off Southern Miss was our very first customer of the year.
Awesome!
So if you go by Southern and see their tree out front, that's from here.
That's awesome.
We also have, I believe, the one at Ole Miss. And
okay, Jonathan, yeah, we just got to run, but well done. Thanks for being on the show today.
Awesome. Jonathan Dickinson, Tom Lee's Christmas Tree Farm. Look them up on Facebook. And folks, remember, if we do not support these local businesses, they will go away. And it's folks like Tom Lee's that become the pillar of our communities and make the holidays so wonderful. Shop local, Mississippi. Happy holidays, everybody.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.